This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين My beloved brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Always forever we begin with the praise and the thanks of Allah. Nashhadu an la ilaha illallah. We testify that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we send our love and our greetings, salutations to the beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his pious and his pure family, to his companions, and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to be amongst them. Ameen. Walhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, we are on part two of our series, The Greatest Miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the Quran. And as I mentioned last week, and not to delve too deeply into that, but there was an incident in Finland, I think, or Sweden, where an Iraqi non-Muslim Christian guy, he desecrated, burnt the Quran, and, you know, wiped his feet with the Quran, his shoes with the Quran. Really, and why do they do this? It is to create a response. It is to make us antagonistic and violent. And subhanAllah, this is exactly what they did to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sahaba, and it would be our mistake to fall into the trap of being aggressive and being violent and going into extremism. Rather, as the Quran is insulted or the Quran is mocked at, we return to the Quran and we recite, we'll recite the Quran more. We will become, as much as you dislike the Quran, we'll show you our love for the Quran. We'll memorize the Quran more. And we'll talk about the Quran more. And we'll create a deeper love. And that is, subhanAllah, every time. This is the sunnah of Allah. Every time the deen or the Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the Quran is mocked at, Allah sends people who will love the Quran even more than the hatred. And so that is why we're doing this series, so that we can look at the miracles of the Quran. So that when you leave the masjid, inshaAllah, you can have a conversation with your co-workers, with your family, and to really say, wow, this is really a book from the Lord of the Alameen, the Lord of the universe. This, without a doubt, is not man-made. We spoke about the Quran from a linguistic perspective last week. We spoke about how the Quran is from a literature perspective, it is a masterpiece. It is, without a doubt, the greatest, most influential book in the Arabic language. I'm not saying this because I'm a Muslim, but if you ask any Arab, what is the book that was the most important book in the Arabic language? It is the Quran. What it did for Arabic and how it transformed the language and how it had revolutionized the world, it is the greatest book in the Arabic language. And as we said, they ascribe this to a man who never read or write. The claim is that if Allah didn't produce, the Quran is not from Allah, then it came from the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Which means the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a man who could not read or write, wrote the most important book in the Arabic language. The first book in the Arabic language. The book that changed the language completely. And we said that is impossible. We also said we want to prove in the series miracles that could not have been possible, that could not have been replicated. And today, inshallah, we're going to talk about certain scientific facts that are mentioned in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned certain things with regards to science. And you need to ask, I need to ask myself, logically, honestly, 1,500 years ago, could anybody have mentioned these things? Were these facts what was preached or believed at that time? Or was this something completely new? And how is it possible that it is correct? And so we'll talk about some of the scientific facts that are mentioned in the Quran. Remember again, as I said, as last year, the Quran is not a book of literature. It's not a book for entertainment. It is also not a book of science. It is a book of guidance. But these things are mentioned as an ayah, as a sign for people to genuinely reflect, honestly reflect, and say, where did it come from? So let's talk about some of the scientific miracles of the Quran. In Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 31, أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ كَانَتَا رَتَقَا فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا. Allah says, do you not see that does those who disbelieve in the Quran, who disbelieve in Allah, not see that at once upon a time, the universe, the heavens and the earth were all joined up into one substance, everything was together. And then we tore it apart, we separated, we caused it to come apart. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيَّا أَفَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. And from every living, we've made from every living creature came from water. So in this ayah, there are two miracles. The first miracle, Allah is saying, the origin of the universe is a type of separation, is a type of creation where the universe was one and then it expanded. And today, we know that to be called the origin of the universe is the Big Bang. It's exactly what Allah mentions in the Quran. Now it's a theory and it still needs to be studied, but Allah says at some point in time, all of creation was in one point, and then from there it separated. The second part of the ayah, which is very, very clearly, and this is a lot more explicit, Allah says that for life to exist, there must be water. Allah says every living creature is dependent on water. And today, if you work for NASA, the space agency, the number one question is there life in the universe? So they're looking for life somewhere. Where are we the only ones in the whole universe, or are there aliens out there? Now, how do you look for aliens? If you ask the scientists in NASA, how do you look for aliens? What do you look for? They'll say, we look for liquid water. Important, liquid water. Because if a planet or a moon is too cold, the water is frozen, it's ice. And if it's too hot, it is steam. It boils. So we need to find what they call the Goldilocks zone. A planet which isn't too hot or too cold, it's just right for water to be liquid. Once we have liquid water, then the chances of life is possible. Allah says exactly that. If you want to find life, you need to find ma, and ma is liquid water. It's not ice, it's not steam. And so this, Allah says, is the origin of life. And it's exactly what the most advanced brains and scientists in the world are doing now, looking for liquid water. Again, is this a coincidence? Could someone living 1,500 years in the desert, where most of mankind must have still believed the earth was flat, could mention something like this? We move on to another area. So that is cosmology, space. We look at embryology. In the time of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we know that the Arabs had a custom where they would bury their daughters alive. We all should know this. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. Allah says, He will ask the baby girl, why were you killed? A baby, 1 year old, few months, why did you die? Why did your dad kill you? What crime did you do? Now, it was the practice of the Jahiliyyah Arabs that if a woman gave birth to a daughter, the woman was blamed because of you as a deficient, a bad wife, you gave me a daughter, not a son. Something wrong with you. Then Allah says, where does the boy and the girl come from? Allah says, وَأَنَّهُ خَلَقَ الزَّوْجَيْنِ ذَكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى. SubhanAllah, even this ayah needs to be explained. Allah says there are two sexes, male and female, only, nothing else. He is the one that created the male and the female. Where does this come from? مِن نُطْفَةٍ إِلَى تُمْنَى. From the sperm, as it emits. I take you back to your biology in high school. You know that in every single person, no matter what you identify with, your genes, your cells are either XX or XY. XX, if you're XX, you're a girl. If you're XY, you're a boy. Women only have the X chromosome. Women cannot code for the Y. But in men, our sperm either has the Y chromosome or the X chromosome. So depending on which sperm, which cell reaches the egg, the mom, it will be determined if it's a boy or a girl. So Allah says, the sex of the child, the gender of the child, is dependent on the man, not the woman. And this is very, very clear, explicit. Allah says, the boy and the girl will come from where? From the sperm of the man. Coincidence? And this goes directly against what was believed at that time by all customs and cultures. Nobody on earth believed this. Now we know it is scientific fact. Then Allah speaks about, in Surah Mu'minun, detail how the baby develops in the womb of the mother. Allah says, ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا نُطْفَةً, that you begin, subhanAllah, if ever you feel great, you got a promotion, you got a raise, and you feel good about yourself, Allah says, remember where you began. You were nothing more than a drop of discharge that if that fell on your clothes, you would throw it in the wash. You wouldn't make salah with it. That's where you and I began. That's where you and I began. What comes out of our akramakumullah, of our parents, if it's on a pad or something, it's thrown away. That's what we began with. So Allah says, you began from that. Min nutfa. And then from the nutfa, we made into an alaq. Al alaqa is a thing that looks like a leech. Now if you look at the picture of an alaq, the first stage of embryology, what does this thing look like? Allah says, you look, the sperm and the egg comes together. And then it forms a zygote, which looks like a leech. And then that thing, the alaq, becomes a mudgha. A mudgha is when you take raw meat and you chew it and you spit it out, that's what a mudgha looks like. You look like a mudgha. فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُدْغَى عِظَامًا, and then we turn that lump of chewed flesh into bones. The full skeleton forms. فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا, and then we covered that bones with flesh. ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرًا, and then we made him into another creation. فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ خَالِقِينَ, and glory be to Allah, the most perfect of creators. Now if you look at the pictures you have, or the previous picture, if you go back one, you would see the baby at the beginning is discharge coming together. Male and female fluids coming together. Then it looks like a leech kind of a creature. That's the alaq. Then if you go again to the mudgha, the next slide, next two slides. If you look at what it looks like, that's a bubble gum that is chewed. Allah calls this thing a mudgha. Something which looks like it's chewed up. Flesh that is chewed up. That is exactly what we see. And look at the picture of the embryo. How it looks like. And then subhanAllah, something which is only discovered like 50 years ago, the entire skeleton of the baby is formed first. You have a miniature person, tiny, tiny skeleton. Hands to the, even the bones of the hands, the toes are there. And then the rest of the creature just grows and develops. Goes against what scientists believe throughout the centuries. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in detail. Again we ask, is it a lucky coincidence in this detail that an Arab, which at a time when even spectacles, let alone a microscope was developed, could mention these things in explicit detail, stage by stage. Sexual discharge, then the zygote, then the embryo, then the skeleton, and then the clothing of the skeleton. Allah talks about resurrection. So that is the beginning of creation. Let's look at resurrection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to you and me, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانِ, does insan think, أَلَّنْ نَجَمَ عِظَامَ, do you think we will not bring your bones back together? SubhanAllah, look at the transition. We start from there, we're going to live strong, then we become sick and old, Allah grant us a long life, but then we die. Not only do we die, we decay and decompose, even our bones will become dust. You open the qabr, you don't even see anything there anymore. Allah says, do you not think I will bring you back together your bones? Allah says, Bala, yes I will. قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ أَن نُسَوِّيَ بَنَانَا, I will bring you back to the tips of your fingerprints. Why? The time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sahaba read this, they accepted. Okay, Allah is saying, we know now that people can be identical twins. Their faces are the same. You can't tell the difference. But if they do a fingerprint scan, we know everyone has a unique barcode. Your fingerprints is unique. No two people have identical fingerprints. Everyone has a specific pattern. Like Allah has stamped every person. Allah said, I'll bring you back to the tips of your fingers. Your fingerprints will be reconstructed exactly how it is. Again, of all the words someone could have chosen, is it a coincidence that Allah uses the word fingerprints? Also, When we think about take your fingerprints, what do you think of? Caught, arrested, Allah's talking about Qiyamah. We'll bring you back to your fingerprints, your tips, because that is the courtroom, the greatest courtroom. Everyone must stand account for his records. Coincidence that these words are used? Allah alam. We move on. Now we move to something completely different. Geology, the science of the earth. Allah says in Surah Al-Naba'ah, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا. Allah asks us, did I not make the earth stable as a resting place? The earth is a place that you can live on. وَجِبَالَ أُوتَادًا. And I made the mountains as pegs or stakes. What does this mean? Allah says, when you look at the mountain, you look at this, but don't you realize there are roots going deep into the ground, the mountains. So many of us might not even know this, that the mountain is like a tree, and it goes deep into the ground. In another ayah, Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ رَوَاسِ أَنْ تَمِيدَ بِهِمْ وَجَعَلْنَا فِيهَا فِجَاجًا سُبُلًا. Allah says very explicitly, we have placed within the earth firm mountains, lest they should shake, lest the earth would shake. So Allah not only explains that the mountains have deep roots, but the reason why the mountains have deep roots is it keeps the earth from shaking. If you go into, look at this geology textbook, right? Look at this. This was a book that was written, and it's a university book about 20 years ago. It says, the fact that mountains have deep stakes like roots clench the earth from shaking, right? This is how, why, even though the earth, the land we are on, is floating on liquid, underneath is like lava, and everything floats on it. Why do we not shake like we're on a boat? Because when you have two planks that are together, they are going to slide. How do you keep two planks together? You put nails in them. The mountains are like nails. So Allah explains very clearly, very explicitly, the reason why the earth does not shake, you don't have earthquakes all the time, is because the mountains keep it in place. No one knew this until the last 50, 60, 100 years. No one knew this. And the again, explicit in the Quran, it's not even inferred. Allah says, I've made the mountains firm so that the earth does not shake. Now we move to something else. We move from the mountains and the ground to the sky. Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَا السَّمَاءَ سَقَفًا مَحْفُوظًا. We have made the sky, the heavens, a roof over you to protect you. Protect us. Now we would understand, and Allah does mention that the sky sends rain and the clouds, but the adjective here, to protect you, protect us from what? What does the sky protect you from? If you look at all the planets around us, there is no life on those planets. Why? One reason, if you don't have an like the moon, if you don't have an atmosphere, the water can't, you can't have liquid water. If you don't have an atmosphere, radiation from the sun. If you have an atmosphere that is too thick, like now we're talking global warming. If we mess up the atmosphere, we mess up the ozone layer, it kills us here on the ground. So now we learn that the sky, the atmosphere that we have, has several layers. And each layer is like a covering that protects us from the harms that are outside of the earth. We are like in a little bubble and it keeps us safe. So Allah very clearly says, the sky is meant to protect the earth from harmful exposure. SubhanAllah, perhaps my favorite of the scientific miracles of the Quran, one that is undoubted, if you ever had a doubt, SubhanAllah, about the Quran, this one should really push you over the line. In the time, I mean, Einstein, we all know is Einstein, like the smartest man ever. 100 years ago, the scientists had this debate, which has been going on for thousands of years. How old is the universe? Does the universe have a beginning? Does it have an end? The standard belief, the belief of all the scientists, was that the universe was eternal. It has no beginning, it has no end. You won't find a starting point. And it was a discussion which only philosophers could debate. So there was a philosophical debate. If the universe was eternal, how do we begin? But there was no scientific evidence of this. And so the people like Einstein, they believed that the evidence suggests the universe has no beginning. And therefore, no beginning means no creation. No creation means no creator. If we don't have a beginning, it didn't come out of anything. It was always there. One of the strongest debates of the atheists back in the day was because the universe has no beginning, it cannot have a creator. But no one could prove if the universe had a start or an end. Then a man which you all come to know, Edwin Hubble. The telescope is named after him, Edwin Hubble. He was observing the universe. And he discovered that We live in a galaxy called the Milky Way galaxy. The galaxy next to us is Andromeda. And he found that there is movement between these galaxies. Over time, these galaxies are moving. And he discovered that everything in the universe is in motion. And things are getting... So, for example, if you're looking at a boat, you look at the boat, and then you look away, and half an hour you look again, you see the boat is further away. So now that boat is moving away from you. And as far as you look in the universe, everything is moving further and further away. He therefore understood that the universe is expanding like a balloon. It is getting further and further apart. Not only that, he also proved that it's not only expanding, it's expanding faster and faster. The universe is growing bigger and bigger and bigger, quicker. So the question was, if we are expanding outwards, if we rewinded time, what happens? It will come closer and closer and closer. And they got to a point that if we rewind it 14 billion years, we'll get to a single point in time, the Big Bang. Edwin Hubble discovered, proved that the universe is expanding. And because of that, he proved the universe has an origin. And because of that, he won a Nobel Prize. And the telescope is named after him. And it's one of the greatest scientists of all time. 1,500 years ago, Allah says in the Quran, "Wassama," not "Wassama wal ard." Allah says the heavens, the universe. "Banaynaha bi'aydin." We made the Sama mighty. Big, huge. You can't understand how big the Sama is. "Wa inna la musi'un." And we are now continuously expanding it. The universe is getting, it's expanding outwards. This is not in the past tense. The first part of the ayah is in the past tense. We created the universe with might. And now we are continuously expanding it outwards. Allah didn't say as-sama'i wal-ard, the heavens and the earth. Allah said the heavens only. So this fact that the universe is expanding and the universe is moving away from itself is something which, as I said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi should have won this Nobel Prize. If you claim he wrote the Quran, then he was the first person in human history to prove that the universe is expanding. Stephen Hawking, that famous scientist who passed away, he says, "The discovery that the universe is expanding was one of the greatest intellectual revolutions of the 20th century." But I can tell Mr. Hawking, you didn't discover the universe is expanding in the 20th century. In the 5th century, the 6th century, the Quran says the universe is expanding. How is it possible that a man in the desert, who had no telescopes, who at a time when people believed the earth was flat, is saying very clearly the universe is expanding? And on that point, staying with space, I'm sure all of you learned in your class that we revolve around the sun. The sun is in the middle, and we move around the sun. The church, for most of its history, preached that the earth was the center of the universe and everything moves around the earth. And then, of course, telescopes were developed. People like Galileo proved that the earth is moving, not the sun. And so because of that, he was condemned and he was banned and all those wonderful things. The Quran says in Surah Yasin, وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرِّ اللَّهَ ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ, that the sun moves in its orbit. And so many scientists at the time said, your Quran is like the Bible, it's nonsense. It talks about the sun moving. We know the sun stands still. But now they've revised their models. Now in the last 50 years, they said, yes, the moon moves around the earth. And the earth moves around the sun. But the sun is also moving. In fact, the sun moves at 72,000 kilometers an hour. The sun is moving. And it moves around the galaxy. The sun is moving around the galaxy. Allah didn't say that the sun moves around the earth. Allah says that the sun, تَجْرِ لِمُسْتَقَرِ اللَّهَ, the sun moves according to its orbit. وَكُلُّمْ فِي فَلَقِ يَسْبَحُونَ, Allah said, and all of it, the sun, the moon, the heavens, the stars, all of it is in فَلَقْ يَسْبَحُونَ. يَسْبَحُونَ means to swim. Everything is moving in its orbit. Very precise, specific wording of the Quran. You cannot fault the Quran in any of the words it chooses. We conclude, subhanAllah, there's so much more to discuss, but the last one, something which stumped even the Mufassirin, even the great translators, the great commentators of the Quran, Ibn Kathir, couldn't explain this ayah. But subhanAllah, today science can explain it. Allah says in Surah Al-Hadid, Hadid means iron. The name of the surah is named after the metal, iron. Allah says, لَقَدَ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلُنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ, we sent our anbiya with clear evidence. وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْمِيزَانِ. And we sent with our anbiya books and evidences and the criterion لِيَكُومُ النَّاسَ بِالْقِسْتِ, so that they can teach people guidance, then people can be on the right path. Then Allah says in the same ayah, وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ, and we sent down iron. أَنزَلْنَا, very clear. The same way Allah says we sent down revelation and we sent down rain, we sent iron down to mankind. Sirin said, hold on, where do we get iron from? In the mines, we dig for it, deep in the earth. How does iron come down? And so the Mufassirin, the only way they could explain this is as a mistake in the Quran. Did Allah use the wrong verb? Or they said, no, you know what, it's metaphorically. Allah means metaphorically, iron is a blessing, so He sent you the blessing of iron. No, Allah does not use words without knowing what words He used. So now we ask, where did iron come? Yes, iron is deep in the ground of the earth. Where did it come from? To produce iron, to manufacture iron, you need so much energy and pressure and heat to produce iron that the only place in the solar system that produces iron is the heart of a star. In the heart of the sun, it is so hot and so pressurized that the elements form iron. We can't make it on earth. We can't manufacture iron. And so the stars, they produce iron. So how did it get from the star to the earth? Because like comets and meteors crashed onto the earth, now the scientific belief is the formation of the element iron requires such large amount of heat and pressure that it forms in the heart of dying stars. The earth lacks the ability to form iron on its own. The only way iron could reach the earth is that this metal was pushed out of the star or the sun, and it fell down like meteors and rocks deep into the earth core, which we are now extracting. So very literally, not figuratively, Allah says, we send down iron to the earth. And that is why Allah calls the surah, Surah Al-Hadid. This is for us to understand. This is for us as a miracle. Why did Allah put this in the Quran? It had no relevance, we could say, for the Sahaba and the they couldn't understand it. But we can understand very explicitly. A person who wrote from his own hawa would not have put this ayah in the Quran. Would not have put the ayah in the Quran unless you understood it, which was impossible to understand, I said, until modern times. So there are so many other facts, and basically this is only half of the, and we can talk all day, but of course our time is always against us. The point of it, subhanAllah, as Allah mentions, He calls these things, as I said, not mu'jiza. These are not miracles. These are not meant to amuse and astound you. Allah says these are ayat. That if this book, with all its signs, is correct, then similarly, when Allah tells you about guidance, speak well to your parents, give charity, don't take riba. This is coming from the Lord of the Alameen, the one who made the stars, the planets, the universe, the one who created everything, the one who created you and will bring you back. Trust the Quran. You know, subhanAllah, we put on our GPS. We have no idea where we're going, but we trust this app. This app is going to tell us you go that way, even though the road doesn't look so great, but okay, the GPS it, so I trust it. Allah said, this is your GPS to life. The destination is Jannah. Have no doubt. If you ever are confused, this book is from the Lord of the Alameen, the one who knows everything. And so inshallah, I hope that in the series we create a deeper love and appreciation for the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the Quran to be the light of our hearts, the guidance upon which we live by. May Allah grant us to pass away upon the manhaj of the Quran. Ameen. Ameen. Jazakallah khair. Just an announcement. Alhamdulillah, as we come towards the end of the year, may Allah bless us to have a good ending and a good start of 1445. Our Muharram march will be Sunday, the 30th of July. And we know all the kids walk through the book up in the tops, and just reminding that we've been here for so many hundred years, alhamdulillah. And of course the passing away of Imam Ahmad Qasim rahimahullah, a very, very famous member of our community who's spent his life in the service of fighting oppression for social justice. We ask Allah subhanahu to grant him Jannat al-Firdaus, to make easy for him in his qabr, and to grant him easy. May Allah open up his qabr, grant that his record be in his right hand. May Allah grant him hisab and yasira, easy reckoning, and may Allah bless him, ya Allah, with Jannat al-Firdaus. Ameen. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.